I want to first of all express my sincerest apologies. In my mind, it was a quarter after. It's not. It's almost a quarter after, an hour later. I don't intend on keeping you a whole lot longer. I apologize. Although I really enjoyed what we did this morning. So let me just touch on a couple of things that really, I'm not going to go through my entire message, but I do want us to open the Word of God, and I do want us to make a couple of observations about that, because this chapter is a major part. If you need to take your grandson out or your children out, go ahead. I am just going to be just a few minutes, but this is really the turning point of the book. From this point on, we see the judgment of God upon the earth and upon his enemies, and the ultimate enemy being death and Satan and the grave being cast into the bottomless pit and into a fire that does not cease. And so we do see that God exercises his justice, and there's several things that stood out in this chapter to me. And I'm not going to even open my notes, but there are several things that stood out in my chapter to me. Number one is the revelation, or the once again revealing of the heart of man. The closing verses of the chapter describes these people who know without any question, without any doubt, that this great war, these great wars, this killing up to a fourth of the population, if it took place today, that would be 1.5 billion people I brought to death because they chose to follow a lie rather than seeking after Christ. These people who knew that this great earthquake that shook creation, not just the earth, but the sun was darkened. The moon looked as though it was red, and the stars of the sky began to fall upon the earth. These people who ran and they hid in the mountains and the rocks, crying out that the rocks would fall upon them so that they could hide from the one who sits upon the throne and upon the Lamb and his wrath that had come, because the great day of wrath has come upon them. These who know the judgment of God refuse to bend their knee to the Almighty God. We understand that at this point, because of the hardness of heart, God has sent a great delusion upon their minds so that they cannot see the truth. But in essence, it describes for us the heart, the human heart. And one of the wonderful things about seeing that is this, and we're going to continue to remind ourselves of this throughout the entire study of the book of Revelation, is this, that outside of the mercy of our God and his intervention in our lives and in our hearts, that is you and me. We are deserving of all the judgments that God brings upon this earth. But God is a God of mercy. We find that in this chapter, in that we find that there is a group, this is the fifth seal that is opened up. And this work of God against his enemies is really seen in the prayers of the martyrs, those whose blood has been shed. And John hears their voice coming from under the altar, describing the blood that was shed as a sacrifice in the Old Testament, where they would take the blood of an animal and they would sprinkle it on the altar, and they would take the bowl of that blood and they would dump it and pour it out under the altar. So it's like Abel, whose blood cried out to God. God hears the cry and the prayer of the saints. These people, these saints who were tribulational martyrs, these were people who were saved in the midst of God's judgment. The church has been removed. These are the saints that came to faith in Christ, knowing that when they named the name of Christ, remember, read here in the text that they were slain because of the word of God and the testimony that they have borne. They came to faith in Christ having counted the cost and determining, after seeing the truth of who this lamb was, counting the cost, counted it worth losing their life in this present world so that they might spend eternity in right standing before God. It was the martyr missionary Jim Elliot who wrote in his journal, "He is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Did you know that we have the same call upon our lives? That God has called us to count the cost, to follow after Christ. God has called us to be martyrs. Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter 1 in verse number 8, "But you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." That word witness is the word from which we get our word martyr. God has given us his spirit that we might be martyrs. And I invite you today to martyrdom. I invite you today that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before him, and that you die to yourself day in and day out for the sake of Christ. My guess is that the majority of us here today, when push came to shove, if we had a choice between denying the name of Christ or death, immediate death, most of us in here, by the grace of God, would say, "Go ahead and kill me." But that's the easy route, isn't it? It is much more difficult to die to Christ while still living in this flesh, still living in this body, and giving up the things that we hold dear to ourselves that is not of Jesus. So this morning, in short, you'll get out earlier than if we had normal service. In short, I call you to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you will live, yet not you, but Christ lives in you. Would you give your life to him wholly? Would you examine your own heart? What are those things that you hold on to that hinders you from your walk and your faithfulness to the Lord? It's not the big things. It's those little things in life each and every day as we serve him. I can't close this book of final judgment without at least issuing a call and a plea to you today if you don't know Jesus as your Savior. If you don't know him today, please know that the day will come where God's patience will run out. He's patient, he's long-suffering, he's not willing that any should perish, but the day of the Lord will come. And I invite you, I compel you, I beg you, I will grovel at your feet if necessary for you to simply turn to Christ, that you might know him and you might have eternal life. You might know the forgiveness of sins and that you might stand before him holy and without blame. Listen, if the Lord is dealing in your heart regarding your relationship with him and in turn your relationship to the world around you, and you have some questions or you're just not sure even what questions to ask, I will avail myself to you. If you would like to sometime just get together and just open the Bible and study it together, I would be thrilled if you would allow me to do that. So as we would dismiss, I would invite you to simply tap me on the shoulder or whatever it is, and just let us set up a time and let's just get together. Let's just open the Bible, see what God has to say about your eternal destiny. We are thankful, Lord, that we had the privilege of gathering together. Lord, my scheduling just didn't really work like it did on paper. We spent, and yet, Lord, it has been a joy in my heart to be able to be with one another, and to be able to sing, to be able to pray, now to be able to fellowship. Lord, I'm game for preaching another hour, but we're not. But we trust that you would use your word, and you would use the gathering of the saints to minister to the hearts of those who have gathered together. You are truly a good God, and we truly are a blessed people. For that we give you thanks, for that we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.